Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
If you have anything of value in your home, what do you think it would be? Because my thing is like...
You don't know.
We could have that Rembrandt, right? Just sitting in the basement or something. I'm not really a big fan of that style. So to me, it would be like, babe, let's just sell this at a garage store or take it to a Goodwill. I mean, because honest to God, I would not know that it's Rembrandt. And even if I did find out, yes, I would sell it and make the money, but it does not make me appreciate his particular art anymore.
Okay. So I read two articles over the weekend. One was about the penny, and it was an editorial about why are we doing this continuously? Why are we paying this money? It's not profitable. No. And what they determined was that they put this money in circulation, but it never gets spent. Mm-hmm. So if you were to cash in all the pennies, it would overflow the banks right now as far as how much money people are just sitting on. A lot of those pennies are valuable. Someone had a dime that was one of two or three that they found and just sold that dime for millions and millions of dollars.
Because? It's missing the letter S.
From the mint in San Francisco, maybe, or wherever they minted it, it was supposed to have the letter and it did not.
Okay.
So I think there's something like that just sitting
in your coin
in a jar that
right.
you have no idea.
That makes sense.
Something weird. Like, not what you would think, but just something
You're
else.
You're probably right. Of all the things that might be valuable, like beyond anything we would perceive, it's probably sitting in my coin jar in the house.
You just don't know.
I'm with you.
Because wasn't there a guy, this was years ago, and I want to say he stole, it's like somebody's actual coin collection, but these were coins that were, stamped in silver, coated in gold. So, like, this coin collection itself is worth, say, $3 million. But this guy breaks into this man's house, and much like me with Rembrandt, does not recognize that these things are worth much more than their face value. And he took this S to Coinstar.
And the guy who broke into someone's house and stole that.
Right. And got
he stole it.
It was like $120 because he dumped it into Coinstar. And the guy who got robbed is like, man, the thing that irritates me most is that this guy did not realize what he had. My collection was worth like, $500,000 or something. And this idiot got $200 because Coinstar just goes, a quarter's a quarter. Yep. Right? Oh, yeah. So you're right, man. Probably my coin jar.
Random, random. It's dropped off. Random. What is the most uncomfortable clothing that you've ever had to wear? Or clothing item in general?
Neckties. For me, as far as just, as an adult, I can pick my own clothes. But certainly, a necktie, I think, still sucks. But growing up, your parents make you get dressed up for what? Wedding, funeral, something you got to get dressed up. And man, my dad, when I was done with the clip-on ties, and he would tie that tie around my neck, like, there was never a point where I was not aware that I felt like I was being strangled. Mm-hmm. And I could not believe and still have a difficult time believing that there are people that choose to feel like that all day, every day.
See, and I wear fancy clothes all the time for my auctions and whatnot, so that stuff doesn't bother me. But looking back on it, the most uncomfortable thing I wore, and I think we're about to reverse issues here, is that I remember when I was a kid, that was kind of the waning days of when they used that old material for your clothes, and so it itched like crazy.
No, I was five times. You know, you only have like, well, when you're a kid, like one dress up, outfit that fits at the time.
Right.
Okay, yeah. So I had a wool turtleneck sweater.
Oh, God.
This was my go-to. This was what I had to wear all the time. And no matter how much collar room there was or what underneath, with my shirt underneath it, whatever the deal was, it was the most uncomfortable, itchy thing. And I had to wear it basically to church, to any kind of family.
How raw was your neck at the end of the day?
I mean, I just sit there and tug on it and try to pull it out as far as I possibly can.
Yeah, that sucks.
And anymore, man, I got to be honest with you, I have a hard time finding jeans that kind of fit me correctly. So I'm kind of glad with COVID, it just became like, all right, I can wear like the adult man leisure suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Look like I'm Russian. But I just prefer just comfort anymore. It's not that I don't like jeans and don't like the way they look. I just have a hard time finding ones that fit.
I have a lot of jeans I like that are comfortable. My biggest thing is just dress shoes. And like, they've come a long way. Like,
yes,
most of the dress shoes I own now are more comfortable. They're almost like,
right.
It's like they're faking being a dress shoe.
That's kind of what it is.
But like, I still have some like dressy dress shoes and I just don't wear them enough that like when I do, I feel like I always get blisters or like the back of my heel. Like,
yeah,
like if I wear like super dressy, like real dress shoes, I got to wear ankle socks underneath my dress socks or I'll end up with a raw heel.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Because you're right. Like truly formal dress shoes seem to do that.
Yeah.
So I hate when something's like, no, this is actually like formal. It's like, crap, man. This pair of shoes I wear once every 10 years. Here we go.
I cannot wear what's the style called? Like the Speedo style underwear? I know it's not Speedo, like a banana hammock as far as your underwear is concerned.
I've never worn a banana hammock to know. It doesn't look comfortable. I'd rather it just hang free and cover everything
right,
else.
Correct. I don't need to have it all bunched up in there. So I don't like anything tight down there. So
you ever wear a
boxer briefs?
Ever wear a G-string?
No.
We were on a cruise, all right?
No.
And so the one thing, I'm like, hey, man, I'm going to get a massage. They got the massage on the cruise. Hell yeah. So I go down there, and this lady, she hands me a robe and hands me this little itty-bitty package and says, put this on. And I don't recognize what this thing is at first. It is a G-string.
Mm-hmm.
As a dude, I've just never worn a G-string. It took me 3 tries to put it on the right way because I couldn't tell which part goes in my butt, which part covers my junk. I mean, seriously, I'm just like, what the F? And I can't explain. I could not relax through this entire massage. So that thing is up in your butt, you know?
Yep.
I'm like, hey, I appreciate you. If you do wear it, it's a good look. It sucked.
I can't stand tucking a dress shirt in with a belt.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Really?
I just don't like the feel of it. For whatever reason, it's just, I feel like I'm just too bunched in.
Yeah,
I mean, like, ties and, like, I don't know, ties and khakis and, like, blazers don't bug me, but, I mean, I wore them every day for school.
Yeah, but when they came out with those non-tuck shirts that actually look pretty good.
Untuck it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of thing? Cool.
I respect that guy.
Reason we ask, most uncomfortable clothes you've had to wear. Policemen are slamming their unisex uniforms, claiming their trousers are crushing their testicles. And female officers are none too pleased with their attire either, complaining that there's an uncomfortable lack of space between the waist and the crotch. The grievances,
you're smothering my vagina,
came from Wales, as revealed by the police union's national board member and well-being lead. She said the male officers have complained of experiencing crushed testicles and added the female officers are also having issues. All of this plays into how officers and staff feel on the job, and that cannot be understated.
They are not going to treat you better. You know why I pulled you over? Yeah, it doesn't matter because my bees hurt.
Yeah, I don't think we need cops in uncomfortable uniforms.
I'm giving you a ticket. I didn't do anything. Yeah, well, my bees are getting crushed. F you.
Here's a warning for what? Just take the warning.
Email the guys at themensroom at mensroomlive.com and get you some Men's Room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
All right, let's see here. Time for Your Guess is as Good as Mine. It's an easy game to play. We get a contestant on the line. From there, you pick from one of two categories and try to get as many right in said category before 3 strikes and you're out. Steve, who is our contestant ready to play Your Guess is as Good as Mine?
I have no idea, but I bet you Ted knows.
James,
welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
James, welcome to the program. Your guess is as good as mine. It's an easy game to play. We'll let you pick from one of two categories from there. Get as many right in said category before 3 strikes and you're out. Your categories: the 10 most reliable used car brands. Consumer Reports out with its first ever ranking of used cars. They've never done this before.
Really?
The assessment looked at vehicles 5 to 10 years old and factored in problems large and small to come up with an overall reliability score. The top 10 out of the 26 and their scores are located below. They say the best used vehicle under $10,000 is a 2017 Chevrolet Cruze.
Okay. Yeah.
Chevrolet Cruze. Best used vehicle under $15,000 is the 2019 Hyundai Elantra. But we have the 10 most reliable used car brands, not necessarily the models, just the brands themselves.
Okay.
All right. Then, James, we have the top 10 greatest Seahawks of all time. The Seahawks have boasted plenty of star power on offense, defense, special teams. They ask what players stand out as the best in the best of franchise history. To take part in the festivities, they used each member of the Seahawks Maven writing staff to assemble their own individual rankings for their top 10 players. All right, James, you want to go the top 10 Seahawks of all time or the top 10 most reliable used car brands?
Let's go car brands.
Car brands it is. What's wrong, Ted?
I was looking forward to doing this list with Mike.
On the air.
I was pumped.
About their used car brands?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Mike and I are all juiced up about used cars after yesterday.
Yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stop in one.
All right, James.
Thanks, James.
You know the game is played, James.
I bet he is probably the real James Thrill.
Do you want to change your answer, James, so you don't piss off Ted?
No, it's fine.
I'm going to piss off Ted. I'm a Bronco fan, so I'm a little bitter about yesterday.
Oh. Hey, look, it's not your fault. Bo Nix just refuses to play well in Washington.
Was he a commander before that?
No, he was a duck.
He was a duck.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. He's a rookie quarterback. He'll be all right.
All right.
Okay. Actually, I think he will be better.
I think he's going
to do just fine. It's just funny the guy could not win in this state.
Oh, I guarantee he hates playing here. Yeah.
Okay. So, the 10 most reliable used car brands. James, you know how the game is played. Try to get as many right in the same category before three strikes and you're out. What's your first pick?
Let's go Honda.
Honda, number 5. They gave them an overall total score of 55. That's based on all their models. So they say if you want to buy a used car, either way, you're not going to go bad if you pick up a Honda. Okay, one for one.
All right, how about Toyota?
Toyota's number 2.
Number 2?
Overall score of 72. They do very well in the used car market. Almost everyone they say is a reliable vehicle. They don't have any that are
there's a billion of them on the road.
Yep.
Yeah, try finding your Camry.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, Camrys are affordable, too.
Yeah. They last forever.
They're amazingly affordable.
There's a lot of them.
All right, James, 2 for 2. You got Toyota and Honda.
I don't know how reliable they are, but let's go Ford.
Ford. Not in the top 10.
Yeah, I figured.
Not unreliability.
You just had to say it, James, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm with you, James. We're like, come on. American Auto, get one of you be in
you
here.
You think it's all the cheap ones like Kia and Hyundai. You know, they're not breaking the bank to begin with.
Keep in mind, this is a 5 to 10-year-old car. Not that they haven't been reliable cars for longer than that. I'm
yeah, but Kia definitely stepped up its game in the last 5 years.
As did Hyundai.
Did they?
Well, yeah. I mean, 10 years. I mean, they've been, okay. both those companies have been making great cars
for a number
of years.
I would take Hyundai or Kia. Honestly, Kia's probably.
All right, let's go Kia. Let's go 10.
Let's go Kia.
Oh, I'm going to shut up, James.
I think Ted's just mad at me. I didn't pick football.
Yeah. Now he's sabotaging the list.
Yeah.
I did the category because of Seahawks football yesterday. I figured someone would take it. Then again, I did the 10 top 10 Metallica songs of all times. No one took that category. Mm-hmm. Anytime I try to do a timely category, no one takes it.
Nobody likes your timeliness.
I do all that work, you know, and then nothing. All right, James, 2 strikes. You have 2 correct.
All right, let's go Subaru.
Subaru. Number 8 on the list.
That makes sense. I know a lot of Subaru drivers. I don't know anybody that bought it new.
I don't know because they're on the road for so long, it's hard to tell.
What number was Subaru on?
Subaru was number 8, 46 overall score on their used cars and reliability.
I mean, maybe Mercedes, BMW go along those lines. I don't know.
Because people buy, I would say, BMW. It seems to be a lot of used BMWs.
Yeah, let's do
BMW's number 7. An overall score of 46 as well. So far, James, you're correct on Subaru at 8, BMW at 7, 5 is Honda, and Toyota is number 2.
I feel like we can consider Volkswagen, maybe Audi. I feel like they stepped up their game, too.
Volkswagen, definitely. I see a lot of those.
Nah. Oh, I'm a Seahawks fan, too.
Atta boy, Mike.
That's your third strike, James. Sorry, but you did get 4 out of 10. On the 10 most reliable used car brands, guys, you want to try to fill in the blanks here?
Lexus.
Lexus is number one.
Oh.
Yeah, baby. 75 over score. You figure if Toyota is number two, some of these brands like Honda, Ted, might have a higher line of cars.
Like Acura?
Are very reliable.
Oh, Jesus. I drive an 06 Acura. Let's go Acura.
Let's do that at number four.
She still runs good.
See? That's why it's a reliable used car brand.
How about Hyundai?
Hyundai not on the list.
Damn it. I like a Hyundai.
I do too.
Lexus is also one of the only brands I know that they really hammer down, like, what, certified?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, buy our car used.
Yeah.
Yep.
I sure do. I can't believe this would be on the list, just my personal opinion, but on the text line, they're saying Nissan.
Nissan is number nine.
Yep. Really?
45 overall score.
I mean, I just feel like we got to get something American in there, so I'll go Chevy.
Come on.
There is a Chevrolet brand
Cadillac
on the list. It is not Cadillac. It is the biggest selling Dodge car in China.
Oh,
it is the
China.
It is the biggest selling American car in China.
It wouldn't be GMC, I don't think.
This is just number one American car in China.
In China.
China. It's not a Elon Musk car.
So it's it's not a Cadillac, it's not a Chevy, so then what else could it be? GMC?
There's another one.
Dodge.
Is it a Lincoln?
It's a luxury.
No,
that's Ford, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a medium-level luxury car made by Chevrolet.
Dang it.
I don't know, man.
Mike, you do car options.
I know. I should know this.
Like, what else is in their brand?
Right? There's one that we're not touching here. Because Mercury
Genesis?
Is over there.
Genesis is the upper Hyundai, correct? But it's not in there.
Like, is it technically Mustang? No, never mind.
This car has been around since the beginning of time.
And it's not Chevy.
It's a Chevrolet-made automobile.
Right.
It's not Chevrolet as far as, like, Malibu, the brand.
I'm eating alive. I know it. Doggone it.
Number one selling American automobile in
Geo.
China.
I don't know Chevy brands.
I got nothing here, Miles.
Number six is Buick.
Buick. That's the one I keep.
Buick's a Chevy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I, of course, knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did.
It's right there on the same level. I can never remember the name Buick.
You have two remaining, one Japanese automobile manufacturer and one German car.
Let's go with Audi then.
Audi's not on the list.
Oh, damn. Shit.
Mercedes.
Mercedes is number 10.
All right.
And you got one more. This one is a Japanese automobile.
Japanese. So you got Toyota, you got Lexus, so it's going to be right there.
Not
with
Mitsubishi.
You.
Mazda.
Mazda is correct.
Mazda.
Really?
There it is.
Yep, Mazda.
So, Mazda's a different one. I don't feel like you see a ton of them anymore.
I guess the resale is fine, but you're right. Percentage-wise, of all the cars we just named, I think I see the fewest of those on the road.
Their medium-sized SUV gets a lot of
a
lot of sales.
Yeah, that CX-9.
Yeah.
And doesn't Mazda, don't they also have like some cars that are start off fast, but you could really soup them up?
Oh, the RX, the RX-7 equivalent is now is probably one of those. So your top 10 most reliable used car brands, number 10, Mercedes-Benz, followed by Nissan at 9, Subaru at 8, 7 is BMW, Buick is 6, Honda 5, Acura 4, Mazda 3, Toyota number 2, and with an overall score of 75, Lexus, they say, is the most reliable used car brand.
And the most reliable exotic dancer at my club.
Miles, we could have used a Tiger Woods hint on the Buick dude.
Yeah, no kidding. But what else do you do to say Buick?
He's sponsored by Genesis now. So I kind of
I know, but like when I think Tiger Woods, I don't know. Just telling us it's the one car in China does nothing for me.
When I think Tiger Woods, I think don't drive.
Well.
Don't drive.
Right. If you're not on a T-Box, don't drive.
You're wealthy. You can get someone to take you someplace. Please.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way.
With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Send the Men's Room a mushy love letter at the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com and scoop up some delicious Men's Room roasted red salsa at your favorite store.
Who ruined the meal? How'd they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hi, thank you.
Hola.
Hola.
So, Sarah, who ruined the meal?
Oh, my amazing husband, who's the worst cook ever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, that's fair.
Good at a lot of things, not cooking. I, you know, swine flu was horrible, completely knocked me on my ass. And I just told my husband after a couple of days, I just want some top ramen. Can you just make me top ramen? And so he's like, okay, I'll do my best. I'm going to try.
Wait. So, what are you thinking in your head when you say, can you make me top ramen? And the response is, I will do my best.
This is what, a cup of water boiled and then
boil water, drop noodles,
the seasoning packet and put the noodles in, right?
Yes. I'm thinking this is the one thing I can ask my husband that you can't mess this up, right? Like, it's so simple, you'd think. No, he eventually brings me a bowl of cold noodles with the seasoning just dumped on top. And I was like, why is it cold? And he said, well, I strained the noodles, thought that didn't look right. So then I just filled the bowl with some cold water.
What? How is he alive? I mean, how did he make it? And then you are attracted to him. Does he have a magical penis? What's going on?
He does.
All right. I was going to say, man, you're fighting through the dumb wall for some reason, and it's got to be good.
Top ramen.
Because if you brought me that, I'd be like, dude, I'm sorry, man. Listen, I just need to take a walk and think about things.
Has he tried to make anything else?
He has now mastered oven pizza. And,
what do you mean oven pizza? Spaghetti. Like putting a frozen pizza in the oven?
Yes.
This is the man who messed up top ramen. Let's go baby steps.
Did his mom hold his hand through life? Did his mom hold his hand through life?
Yes.
Okay, that explains some of it. So he basically
no, it doesn't.
He never
not top ramen.
He never did anything to feed himself until he left that home.
No, when I met him at college, I would go visit him at Georgia. He had no food in his apartment, like an apartment. We're not talking dorm. And I was like, what do you eat? And he's like, I just go eat at the cafeteria every day.
All right,
and all he had was protein powder and Coke.
Oh, so Coca-Cola. All right. So basically, you got a big, meaty Georgia dude who's buff but doesn't know how to do anything else.
Exactly.
I think it might be sacrilegious in Georgia to not know how to cook. When you get to the South, man, if you don't know how to cook, man, you're almost worthless.
I think you're fine not to know how to cook, but you better be married to someone who does.
Something.
He's from New Jersey, in case that helps.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, New Jersey has great food, too.
I don't know. Yeah. Can his mom cook?
No.
Oh, well, there you go.
Is he Italian?
No, he's not.
Okay. Every Italian I know can cook.
Sure.
All right.
I wish he was Italian.
Well, still has a magical penis. Take what you can get.
Yeah, man. Whatever.
Jeez, a whiz.
How do you mess up top ramen?
Just the idea of not being able to read instructions and being able to pull it off is what. I even if I have not made something before, I will look at the recipe, read the instructions. I might not nail it, but I'm not going to absolutely, completely, I don't know, make it to the point where it's not edible.
And again, this
I'm not deconstructing it or whatever.
Ramen. How many instructions are on top ramen?
Boil a cup of water. Put the noodle packet.
Boil the noodles, right? Then add the seasoning packet.
You can do either one, but you definitely want to boil the seasoning packet because it's dry spice and you're making a soup.
Yeah, boil the water. You put the noodles in for 3 minutes, and then add the seasoning.
I mean, those are literally the instructions.
Right. Yeah, you've made top ramen.
It's like there's instructions on a box of Pop-Tarts, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, who is this for? Put them in the toaster. Mm-hmm. Turn the toaster on.
Who ruined the meal? How did they ruin it? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Erica. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
So my best friend, she went to make us tuna fish sandwiches. Oh. Super easy, right?
Yep.
I'm like, what is wrong with this flipping sandwich? She didn't drain the water.
Mm. Oh, God.
She didn't drain the water. Added the mayo to it and made a sandwich.
How? Yeah. I mean, could it even stay on the bread, or was it just slopping out?
It was just kind of mushy, you know. Yeah, I was like, how do you ruin that?
Did you ask her if this is how she always did it?
Yeah, hey, what's wrong with this sandwich? How'd you make it? Oh, and she explained it. I was like, oh, yeah, you need to drain that. I don't know how she's gone all her life without knowing that, but yeah.
Okay. My God. She should marry the guy who made the top ramen.
I'd almost rather have the water and the undrained tuna than you cooking the tuna and me tasting the metal from the can.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, tuna casserole out of a can, there's a very distinct metallic flavor that, you know, and then there's the
peas. Yeah, it's been sitting in a can.
And it's just.
And now you're heating it up.
It's that is maybe the worst meal that my mom made growing up. I mean, you could smell the smell of the can when you walked into the home because the casserole was in the oven.
Right.
I'm just like, God, that was absolutely awful. I'd rather
tuna and aluminum wafting through the house.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously,
two great
tuna
smells.
Casserole was kind of a big one. At least one day a week in my house too.
I'm happy to say that is not one of the things my mother made.
Yeah,
right. Because it was my mom would just make like remember the bag of like egg noodles or whatever.
Yeah,
sure, I like that.
Right, it was like those, the can of tuna, I think a can of cream of mushroom,
something. Yeah,
she would just cook it, but. Yeah, I was never a big fan.
I can hear in your voice it's not bringing back good memories.
Yeah, I'm just like, I mean, I
did
honestly.
Did she like it?
But she absolutely loved it. Oh, and you got to keep in mind, my mom always worked a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
So she's just trying to cook something quick.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we did it for years. And then I guess either me and my sister, at some point, we would eat so little of it, she just finally was like, okay, I'm not going
to get it.
Right? Like, I'm not going to make it anymore. Screw it.
Yeah, my mother used to make a tomato pie, which now is more like a frittata kind of thing. Yeah. But when she used to make it back in the day, just picture cherry pie with the crust on top, crust on bottom, and in lieu of cherries and the juice.
You're talking like a pie crust or like it's traditional pie crust?
I'm talking like whatever Crisco sold, pie crust.
All right, okay.
And then there's a pie crust on top, and in between these crusts is just like stewed tomatoes and nothing else.
No seasoning.
No, and she loved it, you know, and I get it. But that also became family dinner, and that was the deal where my mother, well, both of my parents, you cannot leave the table until you finish this meal. And without any argument, no drama, I would sit there until bedtime. Mm-hmm. Like, I would ask, because you're going to be hungry. And I'm like, listen, man, I'd rather be hungry than eat this. And she would make it like once or twice a week. Mm. And I'm just like, why do you keep making this when, no, like, my father, I think, just forced it down because he stuck being married to her. My brother has the same appetite as her, so he would devour it. But I'm like, man.
Okay.
Because my dad would tell, on certain occasions, not necessarily the tomato pie, but we'd eat certain things, and I'm staring at it. And I'm like 10 years old, and he would have a fork full up in his mouth and go, Steven, I don't like it either.
No, he didn't.
Oh, he would openly say that. Like, I don't like this either, but just eat it anyway. And I'm like, man, that's all you, brother. I'm not doing this.
I respect that. That's dad move.
Yeah,
though.
He was straight up.
Like, look, I don't like it either, but you got to eat it, dude.
Yeah.
So why in our adult lives do we not make food that just sucks that we don't want to eat and make that because of our kids?
Because it seems mean.
It does.
And unnecessary.
Like, is that because that happened to us?
Yes. Probably. I never want my kids.
I'm sure there's stuff you cook that your daughters didn't like.
But not that they
hate. I would always ask them what they wanted me to make, and then I'd make what they wanted. Because I just wanted them to eat.
Yeah, you just want them to eat.
I just want them to eat. So, like, I was never, like, trying to force lima beans on them or something that was just, like, mixed vegetables.
My mother made me eat a lima bean. I saw them on the plate. I had never had them before. And something about them just told me, you're not going to like me. My mother, and so the whole family's getting on me at this point. Like, just try one. And I popped one in my mouth. I chewed it. I swallowed it. And, man, it was like a ricochet puke. Just, bleh! All over the plate, and I'm like, I told you, man. I told you.
Need to learn more about general men's room shenanigans? Just visit the men's room page at KISW.com. This is the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house. Thank you, folks. Thank you. Complex.com created a list of the 50 best breakfast cereals of all time. AKA, how you got diabetes? let's just get it out of the way. I'm going to read more, but number one is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It's got to be.
Thrill. It, like, oh, it, he is exactly right. And honestly, there's a lot of cereals I like, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch, every time you have it, you're like, well, this is the best cereal ever made.
Toss them on your vanilla ice cream, too.
I've done that. I mean, it's like eating dessert. And I will say this, when you're done eating your cereal, it's the most delicious milk to drink after the fact.
I also have the years a lot of this stuff was invented. Some of it's kind of wild. I Wheaties got into the list at number 17.
Really?
A lot of us ate Wheaties, but I don't know that I would say
anyone liked it.
Right, like I always tell people, if like, because you know, like, I obviously as a kid, you love Frosted Flakes, but yeah, your parents would get you Wheaties, and then me and my brother would sit there and dump sugar on the Wheaties.
Let's say, my parents would buy us Wheaties, but they did not eat Wheaties. We ate Wheaties, and we did not ask for Wheaties, but at that time, Bruce Jenner, he was on the front of the box. So that's, to me, it's the only reason anyone bought Wheaties is because of whoever, whatever athlete was on the box.
Some random stuff. Trix was number 14. That came out in 1954.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We're a little short on time, so I'm mostly going to run through the top 10. Number 10 on the list, you had Cocoa Puffs.
Not bad.
Introduced in 1958. This one sounds healthy. I don't know that it is, but Honey Bunches of Oats with almonds.
Not healthy, but... Okay. Like, there's some healthy ingredients, but they have found a way to make it not healthy.
It's just better without the almonds.
It's what's that?
It's better without the almonds.
I like, my favorite cereal is probably Raisin Bran Crunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But over time, I have realized, like, basically, you eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch probably has less sugar than mine does. let's see. Number 8 on the list. Hey, my Lucky Charms.
Oh, yeah.
I was introduced in 1964 during the second wave of the potato famine.
Oh, God.
Jeez, so
Jeez, Jeff.
Number 7 on the list of 50 best breakfast cereals, Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, 1952, right? Wheaties been out since 1921, so it took a little over 30 years for somebody to be like, hey, where do we put sugar on these things?
Because the kids keep doing it.
Number 6 on the list from 1965, Apple Jacks.
They're okay. What? I haven't had Apple Jacks.
I would like to try them again as an adult. For whatever reason, as a kid, we never had them, and I can't remember what they taste like.
We had them all the time. It's apples and cinnamon, man. It's fantastic.
Yeah, if you want to go back in time, buy those like 8 packs variety of the single boxes, man. Boxes. Yeah, the little tiny ones.
Number 5 on the list, also, and you could yell this at people sometimes, like, get out of here, Fruit Loops.
Oh. Yes, you could do that.
Yes, you can.
Fruit Loops also now, in like the snack aisle, they just have like bigger ones.
And I've you just, seen those.
It's like a bag. Like they're just like, look, come on, you don't need milk for us.
Do Fruit Loops taste different than Trix?
Yes.
I'd have to do a comparison, but I'm sure that there's got to be some slight difference.
Right. I feel like there's a little bit more of a quote-unquote fruity
Fruit
flavor
Loops have
Trix.
More of a crunch, too.
Yeah.
A little harder.
Let's see. Number 4 on the list, Oreos. Introduced in 1997.
No.
I've never had that. I mean, I love Oreos, but I would never think to put that as my cereal.
I think we did it one time, and it's fine, but there's some. I don't like doing cookies for breakfast.
And that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, same with the chocolate crunch or the chocolate
cookie
chips.
Cookie crisp.
Yeah, and I mean, look, by the time those came out, Miles, right, 97. Like,
yeah, but
you're an adult. You're not buying
Famous Amos and just pour them into a bowl and add milk.
Right.
Number 3 on the list, Captain Crunch Crunch Berries.
Yep.
That was next level. Captain Crunch is already a good cereal, but Crunch Berries was next level.
I never cared for the Captain. I'd try it again.
Captain. Really?
I don't know. We just never had it in my
Texter said they changed the recipe so they don't take the
rip
roof
your mouth
off.
Open. You know, yeah.
Now, number 2 on the list, highly debatable, but to me, I love it to this day. I will eat bowls of this. Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yes.
They're fine.
And Honey Nut Cheerios, honestly, is not the... Compared to everything else on this list, you're fine with Honey Nut Cheerios.
Good for the heart. Billy West says so.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And I'm sorry. People that eat regular Cheerios, you are... I don't know what's wrong with
you. You're crazy.
You're 2 years old.
I know one person that does that's an adult, and you know who I'm talking about. And I don't know.
But my daughter never made the switch.
Right? She's stuck with regular?
She was eating Cheerios, like you said, 2 years old, whatever. And we're like, ooh, we're going to introduce her to Honey Nut Cheerios. She's like, no, thank you.
And then, like I said earlier, number 1 on the list, Thrill's been talking about it as long as I've known him, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I feel like that's always at the top of every list.
Because it's that good.
You could also know because there's Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavored, like milkshakes and this and that.
Yeah.
I've never gone to a place and they said, do you want a Honey Nut Cheerio milkshake?
Do any of you guys have actually a box of cereal at home?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
There's Lucky Charms,
cereal
Cinnamon
Miles,
Toast Crunch.
Cereal is like peanut butter. I don't buy it because I will eat it.
We got Corn Chex right now.
Ooh.
Okay.
Dude, I had some smoked Chex Mix the other day at a tailgate.
Yeah, baby.
Awesome.
That Sounds amazing.
Yeah, shout out. Thanks, Bryce.
Reach out to the Men's Room on the socials at Men's Room Live and enjoy the new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing.
Game is Big Dummy, 206-803 round.
And you got to kind of jump underneath it, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And then do a squat, front squat.
I will say this, though, as far as sports go, right? So it can be the Olympics, it can be professional sports. You could watch people play tennis and you go, well, I could do that. They make it look easy because they're very, very good. You can watch football. I can do that. It looks very, very easy because they're very, very good. Hockey, curling, you name it. Weightlifting is the one sport where I'm like, they don't look comfortable. It does not look easy, right? I mean, it looks like it sucks exactly as much as it sucks.
It does, but I think it's the opposite. Like, that's the one sport you can watch at any age. You can go into a gym and start lifting.
You can.
And you can do it, right?
But, I mean they don't make it look easy.
No, you're right.
Everyone else, you're like, well, I could do that. Like, no. They can do that. That's why you think you can do that. Weightlifting, I go, yeah, I couldn't do that. And that guy's huge, and he doesn't look like he's sure he can do that.
Yeah.
Hello, Rid. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Liquor and Horrors.
Liquor and Horrors. Rid, are you sober or not sober?
Well, as my daughter always wanted to say, team hungover.
What?
Team hungover.
He's hungover.
Team hungover.
So are you still drunk or are you not sober?
Not sober.
All right, Rid. There we go. That was a long way to home. All right, our Men's Room poll. You're going to do a three-way. We'll be with Captain Crunch, Morgan, Hook, or Kangaroo.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to go with Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch.
Oh, yeah, boy. I got to take Captain Crunch. Why not, man? It's my man. All right, here is your question. Who are the four presidents on Mount Rushmore?
Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Monroe.
Roosevelt, right?
So close. Yeah. You got George Washington, you got Abraham Lincoln, you got Thomas Jefferson, the fourth and final, Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, something new.
All right, Mike, in what order do I see them left to right?
That would be Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and then Lincoln.
Well done, sir. Well done. That's an Eagle Scout talking to you, ladies and gentlemen. I read your question. What is the international radio code word for the letter T?
The letter T. Oh, I'm stumped on that one.
It takes two.
I have no idea.
Tom?
Tango.
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 Tango. Tango.
Hence,
what's it? Whiskey Fox Tango?
Yeah, no. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah, Fox. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Got that one out smoothly, Mike.
Good job, kid.
Thanks, dude.
That's why you get paid to speak, my friend.
Yep. That's why. Big box.
You should do radio.
All right. Your question, what did Alfred Hitchcock use for blood in the movie Psycho?
Paint.
Not a bad guess. Actually, he used real blood.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm kidding. Chocolate syrup. He used chocolate syrup. It was not real blood.
I was like, he's the psycho.
Because, well, they had to film it in black and white, and when they used, like, red food coloring and something, like, it just didn't look like blood in black and white.
Hmm.
So picture her screaming in the shower, and there's all this chocolate syrup being squirted all over.
I bet that set smelled great.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I wonder how many times they had to do the scene, like, hey, stop licking the blood off of your face. You're supposed to be terrified.
It would take a while to clean me off if I was covered in chocolate syrup.
Well, we'll find out in that three-way.
Maybe.
All right. Your question, what is the capital of Missouri?
Ooh.
I know this. I'm brain farting.
Are you brain farting? You don't know. This is one of the states where I just feel like most people don't know.
I'm a big dummy.
Did you say Missouri?
Missouri, yes.
Missouri?
Or Missouri.
Missouri?
Yeah, I have no clue, man.
What was that?
No clue. I have no clue.
Jefferson City.
Jefferson City.
Yeah. Oh, miles on it.
Moving on up. All right, Red, what symbol of peace surrounds the globe on the UN flag?
doves.
The what?
Is it doves?
That is a bird.
Oh.
But in this guy, I did say simple. It's not doves.
Olive branch?
Olive branch. Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was doves too. Mm-hmm. Is there not doves on it as well?
I don't believe there are doves on the flag. I think it's just the globe with the. Oh, right.
No.
No doves.
All right. Okay. All right. Question six, Red.
Question number six. What currency does Russia use?
What?
What, Gus?
Currency that Russia uses.
Mm-hmm. And Belarus, if that helps.
Ruples? I don't know.
Close. Rubles.
Rubles.
That's when they found out Barney was a Russian spy. It's actually pronounced Barney Ruble.
He was an operative?
He was an operative.
Or an oligarch.
Yeah, they didn't know that. Yeah. All right, your question. What is the opposite of a synonym?
Acronym?
No.
Thought it was
What did he say?
He said acronym.
Oh, no, sorry. It's an antonym. Antonym.
Oh, it's me, antonym. Yeah.
I read.
I'm doing English over here.
Independence Hall, home to the Liberty Bell, is located in what city?
Hey, Liberty City.
I don't know. Guessing you play Grand Theft Auto a bit. That would be Philadelphia.
Hey.
Question number eight, Red.
Question number eight, what movie spawned the phrase, quote, there's no crying in baseball?
That's with Tom Hanks.
Gina Davis.
What's the name of that movie? Damn it. I can't think of it right now. I know it, but, shoot.
Was ladies playing baseball.
Yeah. No crying in baseball.
They couldn't play in the men's league, so they had to make a
league of their own.
Hey!
All right, there we go.
Connect with the guys. Find the men's room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the men's room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Go right up a minute to drink a time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast the Johnson Boat Works Company, founded in 1896 by one, ready for this name, John O. Johnson. Johnson Boat Works, they've been a builder and developer of racing sailboats for over 120 years. But today, we're honoring them for something they did way back in the day. It's a TV commercial campaign that they rolled out during the 1980s when they were known simply as Johnson Boating. Now, you need to understand, man, obviously, if you're a boater, the state of Florida makes a lot of sense. Miami Vice had come out in the 1980s. They kind of made boating, especially speed boating, kind of a fun, sexy,
Johnson Outboard was one of the most popular motors you see on tons of boats back then.
So here's the thing. At this point, they said, you know what? Let's reach out outside of the general people that'd be interested because of Miami Vice. There's a lot of interest in this. So in the 1980s, this is a commercial they released. Just take a listen.
Saturday nights, distant lights, you, your girl, and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
Yeah, they mean the boat.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and play that again. This is, let's take advantage of the surge in popularity of the interest of boating. So basically, it's just a guy, he's got a hot chick, and they're on his boat. Oh, and they keep showing the boat from different angles. And
Saturday nights, distant lights, you, your girl, and your Johnson.
I just want to grab Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
He's correct at 55, I can promise you. It's been a way of life.
I just want to grab that drop.
You, your girl, and your Johnson.
Saturday nights, distant lights. You, your girl, and your Johnson.
Hell yeah.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
Who needs a girl when you got your Johnson?
Yeah.
Good God, man. That's that is one of my favorite jingles ever now. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
down the hola bitola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
About general men's room shenanigans? Just visit the men's room page at KISW.com. This is the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef and a half.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. Complex.com created a list of the 50 best breakfast cereals of all time. A.K.A. How You Got Diabetes. let's just get it out of the way. I'm going to read more, but number one is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It's got to be.
Thrill. It, like, no it, he is exactly right. And honestly, there's a lot of cereals I like, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch, every time you have it, you're like, well, this is the best cereal ever made.
Toss them on your vanilla ice cream, too.
I've done that. I mean, it's like eating dessert. And I will say this, when you're done eating your cereal, it's the most delicious milk to drink after the fact.
I also have the years a lot of this stuff was invented. Some of it's kind of wild. I Wheaties got into the list at number 17.
Really?
A lot of us ate Wheaties, but I don't know that I would say
anyone liked it.
Right, like I always tell people, if like, because you know, like I obviously as a kid you love Frosted Flakes, but yeah. Your parents would get you Wheaties, and then me and my brother would sit there and dump sugar on the Wheaties.
Let's say, my parents would buy us Wheaties, but they did not eat Wheaties. We ate Wheaties, and we did not ask for Wheaties, but at that time, Bruce Jenner... he was on the front of the box. So that's, to me, it's the only reason anyone bought Wheaties is because of whoever, whatever athlete was on the box.
Some random stuff. Trix was number 14. That came out in 1954.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We're a little short on time, so I'm mostly going to run through the top 10. Number 10 on the list, you had Cocoa Puffs.
Not bad.
Introduced in 1958. This one sounds healthy. I don't know that it is, but Honey Bunches of Oats with Almonds.
Not healthy, but... Okay. Like, there's some healthy ingredients, but they have found a way to make it not healthy.
It's just better without the almonds.
It's what's that?
It's better without the almonds.
I like, my favorite cereal is probably Raisin Bran Crunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But over time, I have realized, like, basically, you eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch probably has less sugar than mine does. let's see. Number 8 on the list. Hey, my Lucky Charms.
Oh, yeah.
That was introduced in 1964 during the second wave of the potato famine.
Oh, God.
Jeez, so
Jeez, Jeff. Number seven on the list of 50 best breakfast cereals, Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a classic.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, 1952, right? Wheaties been out since 1921, so it took a little over 30 years for somebody to be like, hey, where do we put sugar on these things?
Because the kids keep doing it.
Number six on the list from 1965, Apple Jacks.
They're okay. What? I haven't had Apple Jacks.
I would like to try them again as an adult. For whatever reason, as a kid, we never had them, and I can't remember what they taste like.
We had them all the time. It's apples and cinnamon, man. It's fantastic.
Yeah, if you want to go back in time, buy those like 8 packs variety of the single boxes, man. Boxes. Yeah, the little tiny ones.
Number five on the list, also, and you could yell this at people sometimes, like, get out of here, Fruit Loops.
Oh, yes, you could do that.
Yes, you can.
Fruit Loops also now, in like the snack aisle, they just have like bigger ones.
And I've seen those.
It's like a bag. Like they're just like, look, come on, you don't need milk for us.
Do Fruit Loops taste different than Trix?
Yes. I'd have to do a comparison, but I'm sure that there's got to be some slight difference.
Right. I feel like there's a little bit more of a quote-unquote fruity
flavor.
Fruit
Loops have more of a crunch, too.
Yeah.
A little harder.
Let's see. Number four on the list, Oreos. Introduced in 1997.
No.
I've never had that. I mean, I love Oreos, but I would never think to put that as my cereal.
I think we did it one time, and it's fine, but there's some. I don't like doing cookies for breakfast.
And that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, same with the chocolate crunch or the chocolate
cookie
chips.
Cookie crisp.
Yeah, and I mean, look, by the time those came out, Miles, right, 97. Like, yeah, but you're an adult. You're not buying
Famous Amos and just pour them into a bowl and add milk.
Right.
Number three on the list, Captain Crunch Crunch Berries.
Yep.
That was next level. Captain Crunch is already a good cereal, but Crunch Berries was next level.
I never cared for the Captain. I'd try it again.
Captain. Really?
I don't know. We just never had it in my
Texter said they changed the recipe so they don't take the
rip
roof
your mouth
off.
Open. You
know,
yeah.
Now, number two on the list, highly debatable, but to me, I love it to this day. I will eat bowls of this. Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yes.
They're fine.
And Honey Nut Cheerios, honestly, is not the... Compared to everything else on this list, you're fine with Honey Nut Cheerios.
Good for the heart. Billy West says so.
Yeah, exactly. I know. And I'm sorry. People that eat regular Cheerios, you are... I don't know what's wrong with
you. You're crazy.
You're 2 years old.
I know one person that does that's an adult, and you know who I'm talking about. And yeah. I don't know.
But my daughter never made the switch.
Right? She's stuck with regular?
She was eating Cheerios, like you said, 2 years old, whatever. And we're like, ooh, we're going to introduce her to Honey Nut Cheerios. She's like, no, thank you.
And then, like I said earlier, number one on the list, Thrill's been talking about it as long as I've known him, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I feel like that's always at the top of every list.
Because it's that good.
You could also know because there's Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavored, like milkshakes and this and that.
Yeah.
I've never gone to a place and they said, do you want a Honey Nut Cheerio milkshake?
Do any of you guys have actually a box of cereal at home?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
There's Lucky Charms,
cereal
Cinnamon
Miles,
Toast Crunch.
Cereal is like peanut butter. I don't buy it because I will eat it.
We got Corn Chex right now.
Ooh.
Okay.
Dude, I had some smoked Chex Mix the other day to tailgate.
Yeah, baby.
Awesome.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, shout out. Thanks, Bryce.
Reach out to the Men's Room on the socials, at Men's Room Live, and enjoy the new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing.
Game is Big Dummy, 206-803 round.
And you got to kind of jump underneath it, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And then do a squat, front squat.
I will say this, though, as far as sports go, right, so it can be the Olympics, it can be professional sports, you could watch people play tennis, and you go, well, I could do that. They make it look easy because they're very, very good. You can watch football. I can do that. It looks very, very easy because they're very, very good. Hockey, curling, you name it. Weightlifting is the one sport where I'm like, they don't look comfortable. It does not look easy, right? I mean, it looks like it sucks exactly as much as it sucks.
It does, but I think it's the opposite. Like, that's the one sport you can watch at any age. You can go into a gym and start lifting.
You can.
And you can do it, right?
But, I mean they don't make it look easy.
No, you're right.
Everyone else, you're like, well, I could do that. Like, no. They can do that. That's why you think you could do that. Weightlifting, I go, yeah, I couldn't do that. And that guy's huge, and he doesn't look like he's sure he can do that.
Yeah.
Hello, Rid. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and horrors.
Liquor and horrors. Rid, are you sober or not sober?
Well, as my daughter always wanted to say, team hungover.
What?
Team hungover.
He's hungover.
Team hungover.
So are you still drunk or are you not sober?
Not sober.
All right, Rid. There we go. That was a long way to home. All right, our men's room poll. You're going to do a three-way. Will it be with Captain Crunch, Morgan, Hook, or Kangaroo?
Oh, I think I'm going to have to go with Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Berries.
I got to take Captain Crunch. Why not, man? It's my man. All right, here is your question. Who are the four presidents on Mount Rushmore?
Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Monroe.
Roosevelt, right?
So close, yeah. You got George Washington, you got Abraham Lincoln, you got Thomas Jefferson, the fourth and final, Theodore Roosevelt.
Something new.
All right, Mike, in what order do I see them left to right?
That would be Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and then Lincoln.
Well done, sir. Well done. That's an Eagle Scout talking to you, ladies and gentlemen. I read your question. What is the international radio code word for the letter T?
The letter T. Oh, I'm stumped on that one.
It takes two.
I have no idea.
Tom?
Tango.
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 Tango. Tango.
Hence,
what's it? Whiskey Fox Tango?
Yeah, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah, Fox. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Got that one out smoothly, Mike.
Good job, kid.
Thanks, dude.
That's why you get paid to speak, my friend.
Yep. That's why. Big box.
You should do radio.
All right. Your question, what did Alfred Hitchcock use for blood in the movie Psycho?
Paint.
Not a bad guess. Actually, he used real blood.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm kidding. Chocolate syrup. He used chocolate syrup. It was not real blood.
It's like, he's the psycho.
Because, well, they had to film it in black and white, and when they used, like, red food coloring and something, like, it just didn't look like blood in black and white. So picture her screaming in the shower, and there's all this chocolate syrup being squirted all over.
I bet that set smelled great.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I wonder how many times they had to do the scene, like, hey, stop licking the blood off of your face. You're supposed to be terrified.
It would take a while to clean me off if I was covered in chocolate syrup.
Well, we'll find out in that three-way.
Maybe.
All right. Your question, what is the capital of Missouri?
Ooh.
I don't know if I know this. I'm brain farting.
Are you brain farting? You don't know. This is one of the states where I just feel like most people don't know.
I'm a big dummy.
Did you say Missouri?
Missouri, yes.
Missouri?
Or Missouri.
Missouri?
Yeah, I have no clue, man.
What was that?
No clue. I have no clue.
Jefferson City.
Jefferson City.
Yeah. Oh, miles on it.
Moving on up. All right, Red, what symbol of peace surrounds the globe on the UN flag?
The doves.
The what?
Is it doves?
That is a bird.
Oh.
But in this guy, I did say symbol of peace. Not doves.
Olive branch?
Olive branch. Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was doves too.
Mm-hmm.
Is there not doves on it as well?
I don't believe there are doves on the flag. I think it's just the globe with the. Oh, right.
No.
No doves.
All right. Okay. All right. Question six, Red.
Question number six. What currency does Russia use?
What?
What, Gus?
Currency that Russia uses.
And Belarus, if that helps.
Rubles? I don't know.
Close. Rubles.
Rubles.
That's when they found out Barney was a Russian spy. It's actually pronounced Barney Ruble.
He was an operative?
He was an operative.
Or an oligarch.
Yeah, they didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, your question. What is the opposite of a synonym?
No.
Thought it was
What did he say?
He said acronym.
Oh, no, sorry. It's an antonym. Antonym.
Oh, it's me, antonym.
Oh,
I read.
I'm doing English over here.
Independence Hall, home to the Liberty Bell, is located in what city?
Hey!
Liberty City.
I don't know.
Guessing you play Grand Theft Auto a bit. That would be Philadelphia.
Question number eight, Red.
Question number eight. What movie spawned the phrase, quote, there's no crying in baseball?
Oh, that's with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. Gina Davis.
What's the name of that movie? Damn it. I can't think of it right now. I know it, but... shoot.
This lady's playing baseball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No crying in baseball.
They couldn't play in the men's league, so they had to make a...
League of their own.
Hey!
All right, there we go.
Connect with the guys. Find the men's room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the men's room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Got right up a minute to drink a time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and today we toast the Johnson Boat Works Company, founded in 1896 by one, ready for this name, John O. Johnson. Johnson Boat Works, they've been a builder and developer of racing sailboats for over 120 years. But today, we're honoring them for something they did way back in the day. It's a TV commercial campaign that they rolled out during the 1980s when they were known simply as Johnson Boating. Now, you need to understand, man, obviously, if you're a boater, the state of Florida makes a lot of sense. Miami Vice had come out in the 1980s. They kind of made boating, especially speed boating, kind of a fun, sexy,
Johnson Outboard was one of the most popular motors you see on tons of boats back then.
So here's the thing. At this point, they said, you know what? Let's reach out outside of the general people that'd be interested because of Miami Vice. There's a lot of interest in this. So in the 1980s, this is a commercial they released. Just take a listen.
Saturday nights, distant lights, you, your girl, and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
Yeah, they mean the boat.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and play that again. This is, let's take advantage of the surge in popularity of the interest of boating. So basically, it's just a guy, he's got a hot chick, and they're on his boat. Oh, and they keep showing the boat from different angles. And
Saturday nights, distant lights, you, your girl, and your Johnson.
I just want to grab Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
He's correct at 55, I can promise you. It's been a way of life.
I just want to grab that drop.
You, your girl, and your Johnson.
Saturday nights, distant lights. You, your girl, and your Johnson.
Hell yeah.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
Who needs a girl when you got your Johnson?
Yeah.
Good God, man. That's that is one of my favorite jingles ever now. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola!
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
What we all miss the most is the food.
The Chinese food.
Any decent Chinese food or pizza. New York City pizza.
I'm not driving 35 minutes for a decent slice of pizza, okay?
There's no pizza. There's no bagels.
Bagels.
Man, I miss some bacon, egg, and cheeses, man.
I have three Thai places on my block.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.